All right, if you'd like to read with us in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, just reading one verse for a point. Listen to this, the 12th chapter, the very first verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, here, anybody ought to be able to understand that, to remember God in the days of thy youth, before, in other words, before you get into sin, before you start having regret, before you start having pains and aches and stuff in your body, before that you get to where you're no good for anything. You know, a lot of people, they want to live their life, and then when they get old, decrepit, bent, broken, come and give that to the Lord and think God ought to be satisfied with it. When we give the devil all of our young life, then we wonder why that things ain't going good for us. It's because we didn't do what God said, remembering when we was young. Well, after we get older, we can't go back and change that. But then we can be obedient unto the Word of God and live the very best that we can and give God our best. Not trying and get away, I guess you'd say, with less than that. Alright, if you'd like to read with us, in Galatians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to start reading the 2nd verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Then in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. And this is Paul writing here. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there's more in this than we could ever get preached out. But what the Lord had on my mind was remembering when we was young and living for Him. And then here in the first part of this 6th chapter in Galatians, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You and I as Christians should reach out to those that aren't right with the Lord and try all that we can to get them right with God. And the way that we can help bear their burden is by taking them before the Lord in prayer. And a way that we can help bear our Christian brother and sister's burden is by taking them before the Lord in prayer. When they're carrying a load for their lost loved ones or whoever it might be, is get on their knees and pray for them as never before. But then you'll find here in Paul's writing that we read to you here he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You and I today, if there's ever been a time, we need to come back to the Word of God and stand upon it exactly what it said. Remind people, you know, and all that's been happening. That when we're young and sinner and sinner,
can see and find out what that a Christian is supposed to be. That's what Paul was saying here. He was a master builder. And he, in his writing, teaches, if we're willing to listen, he teaches you and I just what kind of a building we need to be putting upon that foundation, which is Christ Jesus. That's the foundation. Christ come and laid it, and he said for you and I to take heed how we build upon it. Each and every one of us today, our daily life, we're laying bread. We're doing something in our life that is for the Lord or is for the devil. One of the two. We're working for one of the two masters. You and I in life here, we may have a choice of many different jobs and work under many different employers. But in life, when it comes to the thing of eternity, we're working for one of the two masters. We're either working for God or we're working for the devil. Nobody wants to realize that they're working for the devil. But you'll find that every one of us, we've got a payday that's coming out there ahead according to what we've done, according to the way that we were. And each and one of us listening to the radio and a song, I'm talking about there's a payday out there ahead, and they were working toward it. Every one of us is working toward a payday. Whether we want to admit it or not, Bible or not, when we come to the end of this line, we're going to reap what we sowed. We're going to stand before God and receive exactly what we're entitled to. And if we've been working for the Lord and doing what God required of us and asked of us, then you're going to hear Him say, well done, as Paul said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we haven't, then we're going to reap exactly what we sowed. And we're going to be there standing to give an account of a life of sin and get the just reward for it. You know, if you work for somebody here in this life and it comes around time for you to get paid, most people pretty much have in their mind what they've got coming to them. They might not realize how much is being taken out for taxes and all of this, but they know roughly what's coming to them because they know what they're getting on the hour. And it don't take too long to figure it out in your mind what that I made this week. Granted, the government takes a big chunk of it. But you and I, we know what we're going to receive. Why? Because I know what I'm being paid every hour. Why is it man will lie to himself so about what we're working here in life, about the things that matter? Work for the devil and expect that we're going to get to walk upon streets of gold. Just as if God's going to look over it because somebody loves me. Somebody thinks I'm special. You and I today, God thinks you're special enough that He sent His Son to die for you. But He loved His Son so much, He not going to let you walk upon that blood. Make a ball come in and then stand there as if everything is all right. Why do you have that blood applied to the heart and you're clean from the inside out? Are you standing there and all that blood counted in something and you'll give an account of what you did with it? And you and I, we've got a foundation that's sure that we can build upon something that will last. You know, He said for us to lay up our treasures where thieves, moths, rust, nothing can destroy it. It's there for eternity. But that we do for the devil, it's not going to last. As I've said many times, there's people that's built great big monuments here in this life as a tribute that people can see they walk by this way. As I was listening this week in the news,
man by the name of Buffett just give $31 billion to another charity that's already got $30 billion in it to help people. Then he gives $1.7 billion to each one of his children, some charities that they run. And he's still got several billion left. And people, they look at that and they just marvel at all that he's done. All that money, all that he's accomplished in his life. But do you realize, if his heart's not right with God, just seconds after the death angel calls his number, he would be willing to treat every bit of that for one chance to get on his knees and pray. And God listen. But it'll be too late if his heart's not right with God. You and I today, it makes no difference. You know, I can remember seeing this picture. It was taken, and it was in a newspaper, and the clipping and the writing below it. A woman, I think it was in France, it was some foreign country. She was an atheist, and she said she was going to prove there was no God and no resurrection. And she had this great old big stone hewed out, and they had it just cut out to where her casket, and all would fit right down there, and the other piece come on that was a lid that made it out of this stone, and then it was grooved and it was a big old steel band to go around it, and they were tied up and they welded it there. No man, nobody would ever be able to open that. She was going to prove there was no God, no resurrection. And I forget, it was just a short time, just a very few years, about 3 years or something like that, from the time that she died and was put into this. Here this picture in the paper. God had to be the one nursing it, because here come a tree out of that crack, and that stone between the lid and the face of it. No moisture in there. They should have been able to grow. But a seed somewhere that got it there. And they were closing it up. Or God just spoke the word and put it there. But it began to grow in there. And it heaved and opened. It busted them steel pan. They had to take her out and put her in the ground. She had man cannot escape. And we're going to do business with God, whether we like it or not. We don't even have to admit He exists. He'll prove Himself to you. You might say, I've never seen Him. I've never heard Him. So He's not there. Well, one moment after you die, you're going to find out He's there. You know, there was a man in Virginia. I am an earth. And a man in Virginia died with rock dust on the lawn. And anybody that knows anything about that coal dust, when they go dying like that, they get down to where they can't hardly talk above a whisper. And Aunt Goldie had been talking to him about getting right with the Lord. And he'd say, you pray, Miss Smith, I don't have time. Well, he was just about dead. And he looked at her and said, would you write my father a letter?
And she said, yeah. And she went running to the nurse's station and got a piece of paper and pencil and come by. And she said, oh, it's too late. The last male's already gone. She said, they had to hold him in that bed. And he was crying, oh God, don't turn the light out. Don't turn the light out. Saying the bed was on fire. Died without God. The last male had already went. His last chance of praying out for forgiveness had gone. God's Spirit will not always try with man. But in that same hospital, just a few months from there, an old preacher was in there dying with the same disease. And she said, in there for a day or two, that she'd have to put your lips right down, your ear right down on his lips. They hear what he was saying. But he was out at the nurse's station, and it like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they heard a noise coming from the ward where he was at. She had heard the other nurse come up and went running to her, and then when they got to the door, it was like something stopped or happened. He was sitting up on the side of the bed, singing to the top of his voice, Lord, I've been waiting to go. He said, just be clear to me.
Tell people God is not mocked. You're going to reap exactly what you sow. You and I today, if we want to have the Spirit on the inside, get on your knees and pray and talk to God and ask for it. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes it real. Each and every one of us. God is that close. He's not far off. We just got to be willing to say, Lord, Thy will be done. Not plan our life out and say, God, if You'll let this happen, then I'll live for You. That ain't the way God hears and answers prayers. We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, Thy will be done. You give me the grace and I'll live for You. You help me to stand and face the battle that I must face this day, and I'll live for You. You give me the strength to stand. You know, look at David. David, when he went to put on the king's armor, it didn't fit, because David was a boy. The king was a pretty good-sized man. And David said, I've not proved it. So he wasn't going to wear it. And I mentioned somebody over the weekend. You know, that armor had been in battle on the king, but David had more. I don't know how many spears, arrows, or whatever that it may have turned and protected the king, but David didn't have no faith in it. He hadn't proved it. But he had went out against the bear and the lion with sling and stone. So that's what he was going to face the giant with. You know, instead of running from the enemy, he gets there and he starts running toward the giant. And he does all that God asked of him, and then the Bible said God guided that stone where God wanted it to go. you and I, when we've done all that God wants us to, then we don't have to worry. Victory's ours. David went out there without a sword, but he cut the giant's head off with the giant's sword. God supplied. You and I, we can say, oh, how can I take it? How can I make it? How can I do that? The devil will make you worry about a bridge or something before you ever get to it. When God's got a way made plain for you, you just got to be willing to walk the way God wants you to go. You might be afraid to do it. Oh, how do I climb that mountain alone? You're not alone. You got God with you. There's no way out for me today. If I was alone, what would I get up from the morning? His dad prayed for his brother. And 500 miles away, his brother woke up and sat up on the side of the bed and said, right, let's come home. I could hear him pray. Dad had a loud voice, but no way could it reach 500 miles. But God did it. You and I today, whatever we ask, in faith, believing, God said He'd do it. Are we sowing the seed that God wants us to sow? Are we building on the foundation that Christ Jesus laid? Are we standing obedient unto God's Word? You know, there's a lot of people in my life that I've met that was in sin that I love. I liked them. They were just a likable person. And I tried to find a way because their life was so messed up. I tried to find a way in God's Word that they wouldn't have to totally just turn their back upon everything that there was and they could still live for the Lord. And you know, it ain't there. You and I, if we're living a life of sin, sometimes it means turning and walking away from that life and saying, Lord, I'll just walk with You alone. I don't know the answer for everybody. I just know what God's Word says. I'm not the one that has the right to say, you have permission to do something other than what God's Word says. All I can give you is what the Word says. And though God loves you enough that His Son come and die for you, He's not going to make another way. Because Christ said, if you try and climb up any other way than me, you're the same as a thief and a robber. You and I today, live our lives so when we lay down, people can look at us and say, as I did about my dad, I wouldn't have brought Dad back if it was in my power. Because I looked at his face and I envied him. I looked at him and could say, I wish that was me. Because I knew he had won the victory. What have you been preaching about for 63 years? He had obtained. That was victory for you. Why should I call him back into the battle? When he'd been promoted out of it. The stand on the right hand with the Son. You and I today, it's time for us to realize there's something much better than this life awaiting us. If we have to suffer here for a little while, so what? Get our mind and our heart upon God. We can live for it. And overcome all that the devil is trying to make us think that we can't. You know, the Sunday morning I got right with the Lord. The devil was on my shoulder telling me, you've got people that's expecting you to be there next Saturday night. There are several of them coming. I had me a fast car and we was going racing. And they was expecting to see me race that car. And I finally got to the point where I just said, Lord, forgive me or let me die right here. Because I can't feel like this. Well, God, forgive me. I hadn't even got out of the building. And God said it louder than anything. Nobody else heard it, but I heard it. Herb, this was your last chance. You're to die next Saturday night. I don't know how. I don't know if it'd been in a car wreck when I was racing, or if it's because these buddies of mine drank and I was planning on going and getting drunk with them after the race. I don't know if that's how I would have died. I don't know. But I know one thing for sure. God extended my life because I went before Him and asked for forgiveness. You and I don't know what you're facing tomorrow. God does. I don't know what your future holds. God does. So many times people, we plan out and we say, well, you know, I'm young. I've got a long life ahead. I can't live like that. Who knows how long a time you've got? You don't live for the Lord 50 years at a time. You live one day at a time. You get up today and you say, today, no matter what comes my way, I can face it because the Lord's with me. You can live a Christian life that way. If Paul knew there on the road to Damascus when Christ come to him, if Paul knew that time, all the beatings, all the denials of his friends, everything that he'd have to go through, Paul might not have been able to make it. But he lived every day for the Lord because that day God gave him the grace to face whatever comes his way. When he was left for dead after being stoned, he got up, and what did he do? He went right about doing the work of the Lord. He traveled. Can you imagine that? Being left for dead and get up and go traveling. That was walking back then. Travel for the Lord to still carry the gospel. You and I today, the devil says, you can't do it. Tell him he's a liar. He's been that all the way through, and he hasn't changed one bit. He's still a liar. God said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. That's the thing you and I need to keep in our mind. That's the thing the devil will try to put the farthest from you, is that thought. I'm not alone. Christ is walking here with me. Christ is with me. If you wonder about that, and your heart's really right with God, and you wonder about that, start praying. Start talking to the Lord. Tell Him all your troubles. Tell Him the trials. Tell Him about what the devil's saying, that you're all alone. See if He don't prove to you you're not. Why? Because He wants you to know you have a friend. Why don't we get some song to sing? Why not live your life where when it comes down time for you to die, you don't have to be afraid. Man I was talking to yesterday, talking to me about the Lord. And there was so much I wanted to say, but I knew just how rejected he was anything that was really about God. When you really get to talking to him about it, he rejects it. And I was just praying, Lord, do something to reach his heart. You and I, people that just shut the door, we can't make them open it. But I'm so thankful nobody can shut my door. I won't have it open and invite God in. Nobody can shut that door and keep him out. That's my choice. And if you want him, no matter what the devil says,
You can open that door and invite him in and find a friend that is better than any that you'll ever meet. You know, there are things in my life to this day I wouldn't want to talk to nobody about. But when I get on my knees, I can talk to God about it. Why? He already knows. He just waits for me to tell him tell him what my trouble is and what's bothering me. And then he'll give me the answer to it. He'll help me. Paul did that. Paul was bothered.
God finally told him, I'm not going to do what you ask him, but my grace is sufficient. That might be the answer you get. But when it comes, the trial or temptation, lean upon the Word of God. God, you said your grace is sufficient. I need it now. And you'll find that you can. While we stand and sing, will you come? Have you truly laid your whole life in the hands of God and just said, Lord, here I am. My life, I made a mess of. That's what I had to tell the Lord. God, I'm giving you my life because I've made a mess of it. And if we do that from a sincere heart, He can pick up the broken pieces and put it back together. Why? Because He knows what it was to start with. He knows that hole that He wants you and I to be. And He can make us that if we'll surrender to Him.